York City. Evan and Tiki on a beautiful summer afternoon. A big baseball night tonight with the Mets beginning a homestand. That's pretty damn important. The Yankees beginning a road trip. That is pretty damn important. We'll discuss all of it, including why the Yankees are not the same version of 2022 and why things are so different. Plus, Nick Vance. Today, Mikal Bridges is yours, but there's one more piece that puts you over the top. And I'll explain who that is a little bit later on. But today is a benchmark day in baseball, at least in my eyes. Sometimes we say Memorial Day is when you start to take a baseball season seriously. Some say it's July 4th. To me, 3 weeks before the trade deadline is that moment where at least I, as a baseball fan, will now accept, okay, it's trade deadline season. For a while, it was talked about, but I would always say, come on, dude, it's too early, so much can change. But I do believe in the final 3 weeks, we've reached the home stretch of the trade deadline. And it's one thing for Tiki Barber to have a very strong opinion on what the Mets and Yankees should do.
Yep.
It's another thing for me to have a strong opinion. How about the players? And I found this really interesting. Here's Brandon Nimmo after yesterday's game, and tell me if I'm wrong, Tiki, Brandon Nimmo basically becoming a sports talk radio host and opining on what the Mets should do at the trade deadline.
We haven't been able to lock down wins all the time, and that's a problem. But, you know, we're hoping to address it. We're hoping to continue to get better at it. We know that we went on a streak there where, you know, we did a lot better. So we know it's in there, but it's a problem. There's no question, but still think that there's positives to look at.
Now, how do you take that? Do you take that as a player saying through the media to the front office, hey, go get us some help?
Well, I think he's actually said to the front office directly, Steve Cohen, David Stearns, go get some bullpen help. And I think he's joking about that and how he approached it with ownership and the organization. But with jest and, hey, Steve, we need some bullpen help. Hey, Dave, how about you get some relievers back here? There's some seriousness. And the fact that he's willing to say it publicly means that they're talking about it internally, meaning the players.
Yeah.
And so we know what the issue has been, really, most of the season. Yeah, there have been some games where they haven't hit, but the glaring weak spot for this team is the bullpen. They cannot hold leads. They cannot hold big leads. Now, part of that's on the offense to just score some runs and give them your insurance, etc. But if there was one thing you were pointing at, it would be the bullpen. And so the fact that the players are talking about it means that this is something that Steve Cohen or David Stearns, if they are going to help the players believe in themselves, are going to take advantage of.
I think they have to do it now.
Without a doubt, they have to do it.
It's one thing for me as a fan and for everybody listening as fans to state the obvious, which is they need bullpen help. But when you have a player openly saying, hey, go get us some help, you put yourself in a spot where you better get help.
Well, here's the retort. So if you're David Stearns, or let's just say David Stearns, and well, that takes up David Stearns and Steve Cohen. So if you're David Stearns and you hear this from your players, or you start hearing this in the media from your players, maybe directly, maybe indirectly, the response that he has, publicly or not, is you guys go win some games, go earn to do that.
Have they not done that?
Well, they did, but there's still 3 weeks to go before the trade deadline. And so these next 3 weeks are going to determine whether or not David Stearns listens to the Brandon Nimmos of the Mets or whether or not he says, all right, we are just evaluating for the rest of the season. We're just going to see where it lays. We're not giving you any help. Good luck. And that would be cold-blooded, but I think it's necessary. David Stearns has to reset this Mets team. He has to get it in his own image. Not dissimilar to what Joe Shane has been doing with the New York Giants. It is his job, it is his right to evaluate it the way that he wants to. And the only way the players are going to have a say is if they start playing better, period.
Yeah, okay, but here's the problem with all of that. The last 9 times the Mets have lost games, I could argue that 6 of those 9 times came squarely on the back of this Met bullpen. So when you're talking to Brandon Nimmo or Francisco Lindor, but in this case it is Brandon Nimmo, he's the guy who opened his mouth. He's the guy who said, and I think that was pretty clear. I think that is a clear line to the front office, go get us some help.
I would agree.
You would be telling them, hey, go win more. Oh, by the way, most of the time when you lose, it's on the bullpen, which is like incredible to say, but it's true. And there are some games where you can go back and forth on it. Like when they lost on the 4th of July, and Jesse Winker hit a game-winning home run in the bottom of the eighth inning, you could argue that, yeah, it's on the bullpen, but isn't it really on the fact that they couldn't score?
Yeah.
Sure. But a lot of times they play games. Look at yesterday's game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they only scored two runs, sure. But the bullpen came in and set the team on fire. And so what worries me, because I've seen this before, is it is one thing for me on the radio as a diehard Met fan to say, all right, David Stearns, go get this, this, and this. And for you to retort and say, look, Evan, this is a wait-and-see year. They don't want to trade their prospects, which I'm with you on. But how do you tell a locker room who clearly got their message out yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
That is a clear message. If you disagree with me, let me know.
Yeah.
But we played the audio. That's Brandon Nimmo saying, go get us some help. How do you tell them, maybe, maybe not?
Well, I think
what a terrible message if they don't add bullpen out.
Yeah, but you also have to tell them that in one regard, everything you're saying is right. We need bullpen out. It is obvious. If you paid any, just a small semblance of attention to the New York Mets this season, you know that the biggest issue has been the bullpen. But you also could say, all right, we have some pretty important big bats here, some playmakers offensively that need to step up and be accountable themselves in clutch situations. And if we give up three or four runs, you know what? Go score three or four runs. And that's easier said than done. But I don't think David Stearns is under any obligation to listen to what the players are saying. Now, if he was three or four years in and had a different kind of relationship with the organization, with the fans, and with the team, maybe. But right now, I still think he's in his mind, and he's evaluating. What is the makeup of this team? Can they fight through adversity? Can they find ways collectively?
Haven't they shown that, though?
They have.
This comeback to get them within a game of 500.
But you're still not there yet, right? You're still.
So what's there, then?
No, you got to get off the roller coaster, first of all, right? You can't be streaky
where you win three games,
you lose four games.
But they're on the roller coaster because their bullpen cost them basically every game they lose.
Literally, six of the last nine games,
you can put on the bullpen.
Of course, but this is the conundrum, right? And it's because who are you going to go get bullpen help-wise? Because there's not a ton of great names that are actually available. You could go look, and I was reading one athletic article about the available bullpen arms. But half of those guys, I'm looking at the list, and I'm saying, yeah, but they're the same situation as the Mets,
right?
So why are they going to move that guy, right? And think of all the teams that want to do exactly the same thing. So I think it's easier said than done to go get a bullpen arm in the current state of Major League Baseball.
It isn't easy. I think the Mets have three options on how they can add an arm or two before the trade deadline. Option number one, I'm not a fan of, but I'll throw it out there because there may be some Mets fans who say I'm all in. And that is using valuable prospects to trade for a top reliever.
That doesn't feel... It doesn't feel prudent.
It doesn't feel smart. I agree with you,
because,
by the way.
Because most of your... You're talking about arms, pitchers. To do this, right?
No, I'm talking about trading valuable prospects to a rebuilding team.
Jet and some of these other
potentially.
Guys. Right.
Look, Jet Williams' value is taking a hit this year because of his injury to his wrist. But like an example I would use to give you names, because I do want to attach names to this, is a guy like Tanner Scott of the Miami Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
He's been their closer. He's a free agent at the end of the year. He's going to cost a good amount.
Right.
Now, should the Yankees do something like that? Sure. Should they be willing to trade maybe higher-end prospects? Yes. I don't think the Mets should. So I think that avenue is an avenue where I'd agree with you. I wouldn't do it if I'm David Stearns. I would not trade valuable prospect capital for one of the top-end relievers. That's option number one. I think we're on the same page.
Yep.
I stay away from it. Option number two is you buy relievers that aren't going to cost you that much.
Hmm.
And usually, those guys are not that good.
Exactly.
Andrew Chafin of the Detroit Tigers, right. Not that good.
Right. It doesn't necessarily solve your problem.
Well, but it can, because is Andrew Chafin better than Jake Diekman? Yes! Like, it's not about finding the answer by getting a grade A, top A reliever. It's about getting more bodies in this bullpen and showing Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor, hey, we're trying too. We may not have bought the top-end reliever, but we're going to give you bodies. Dylan Floro of the Washington Nationals, I read a report this morning that despite the Nats only being three games behind the Mets, they're going to sell. Well, they got a lot of relievers that I would buy.
Mm.
Hunter Harvey, Kyle Finnegan. I just mentioned Dylan Floro. Now, is there a line in the sand where I'm not giving up top prospects? Yeah. But I don't think that Brandon Nimmo is going to sit there with the buddies, and when they're at their team dinners that Brandon is paying for, him and Francisco.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think they're saying to themselves, oh, Dylan Floro, he sucks. I think they just want to see, and I'm basing it on that comment, they just want to see help. No offense to any of the kids that they call up that go through the shoot of being here for 5 minutes and disappearing, like the Tyler Jays of the world or Eric Orsi's of the world. I think they just want help.
Yeah, but it's funny because you say you're talking about these conversations that they're maybe having at these team dinners about needing bullpen help. These other guys, like Adam Ottavino and Reed Garrett, they're all there, too.
Well, but you're not insulting them. You're saying addition to you.
No, I mean, maybe that's what you're saying. Probably not. So so I get what Brandon Nimmo is doing, but it is very dicey to have those kind of conversations when you're essentially saying, we need to replace you. Like, we need a better option than you, Jake Diekman.
No, but right? they, but doesn't.
And I know they're not saying that directly, but by coming out and saying we need bullpen help, those guys know what their issues are.
But does Jake Diekman know the Mets need bullpen help? Of course he does. He's not an idiot.
Yes.
Like, I think the bullpen knows. And by the way, it doesn't mean you're being replaced. It means they need more arms. And by the way, the third option. And I don't know how this goes over in the locker room. This one would probably have to be discussed from David Stearns with some of his players just so they understand. And I raise my hand. I'm fully in favor of this. And that's using the surplus starting pitching that you have and trading that for a reliever. So you find another contender that's desperate for a starting pitcher that'd be willing to give you a bullpen arm for a starting pitcher.
Right. And a lot of those are expiring contracts.
Yeah.
So both sides were okay with it.
Right, and it's helping another side who maybe is more desperate for starting pitching than the Mets are. I think what these comments prove to me, and I think back to the Mariners, and I'll tell you this story real quick. I'm not sure how many people remember this or even care about this, but it is relevant to what we're talking about. A few years ago, the Mariners were having a good year, and they didn't buy. And the locker room was pissed. Mm. And the locker room publicly came out and criticized the front office and felt like, hey, we thought we did enough. Now, I understand the Mets are a game under 500, all right? But they've also played incredible baseball to get to this point. And like I mentioned, how many games this season, forget just the last 2 weeks, have they lost because of their bullpen?
Yeah.
If you win a handful of them, you're in the wild card spot.
Of course.
So you would think, and you tell me as the athlete, I know the NFL is very different when it comes to the trade deadline, but how would you feel?
Well,
if you're in that room and you know you're good enough.
You'd want change.
Right.
Right. You want, in the NFL, in my day, it was different because the trade deadline, which has always been there, was never used. It wasn't even a thought. Hey, we're going to trade for a better kicker or whatever. It just never was the issue. But it was talked about, well, this guy needs to be playing instead of this guy. And I think I've told you guys this. We had the hot box. We just talk about it, right? And you couldn't get offended. You had to basically accept it, even if they were talking about you. And so in the NFL, it was all about merit. And if you weren't holding up your part of the deal or your accountability on game days consistently, then somebody else had to play. And so that was the way it was handled in football. Baseball, because the trade deadlines is still 3 weeks away, and by the way, trades can happen at any time, then it makes it more immediate if a guy is underperforming. The challenge for baseball, though, and I seem to see this over and over and over and over again, good or bad player, is that organizations tend to want to give it time, right? They tend to want to see, well, maybe he'll come out of this. Well, let's see after his next two or three outings before we make a decision on that guy. And sometimes that makes it too late, right? You just end up waiting and believing in the guy that you brought, and ultimately he doesn't live up to it, and then you're stuck with him.
That's why, in my opinion, the New York Mets have 6 days. They have 6 games coming up against the Washington Nationals and the Colorado Rockies. And quite frankly, this 6-game stretch can sink them. If they somehow lose 4 out of 6, and it's baseball, you never know.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the Mets are 3 games under 500 going to the All-Star break. And now, instead of being 2.5 or 3 games out of a wild card spot, they're 5 games out of a wild card spot. I don't think David Stearns does a damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he cares what Brandon Nimmo says. If the Mets can go out and have success on this homestand and get above 500, and they better be above 500 going into the All-Star break. I mean, let's put the gauntlet down on this crap.
Yeah, I mean,
they better be.
Look, they have 6 games at home against beatable teams.
Yes.
I mean, ideally, you want to sweep them.
I mean, I'm not getting that nuts, but sure.
But ideally, you would love the sweeper.
I would love a lot of things in life,
right, Teak. But especially if Washington is basically saying, yeah, you're chucking them into the, whatever, we're folding here.
And the Rockies are bad.
And the Rockies are just bad. Ideally, you want to sweep. And then you can go to David Stearns and say, all right, we did what we needed to do. Bye.
See,
I
look at what Brandon Nimmo said. I look at the Mets run. I look at how they've lost games over the last few weeks. And what I hear from the captain, or at least one of the captains of the New York Mets, because I think it's him and I think it's Lindor, and lately it's been guys like J.D. Martinez and Jose Iglesias, is they are asking for help. Mm. The question is, will the Mets deliver it? As a Met fan, do you look now and say, David Stearns, year one, you better supply that help. We'll get your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. And a very important question we'll answer on the other side, because I think this will help kind of dictate how aggressive you think the Mets should be before the trade deadline. We are now at a part of the season where we can take a deep breath, right? The Mets had their horrible run. They have recently had a good run. And recently they've been kind of mediocre-ish to where, okay, we're not too emotional one way or the other. What are the New York Mets? Are they a really good team? Are they a good team? Are they a mediocre team? Do they simply suck? And what's happened over the last month was with mirrors. That answer to that question to my fellow Met fans should help answer the question for you on what they should do at the deadline. We'll give you our answers. We'll get to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. Posted and Toasted returns today coming up at 3:30, where we analyze and try to figure out who posted old social media tweets from some of our fellow WFAN coworkers. And the New York Knicks are one piece away. And I'll tell you exactly who that person is that can make you a championship team. Brandon Nimmo thinks the New York Mets are very good. And he should. He's one of the leaders of the New York Mets. You'd hate to be on a team and not think your team is very good. For us, whether you're Met fans or you're IBOs or you're Yankee fans, I think this is actually almost the perfect time to give a balanced opinion on who the New York Mets are. I do not believe it is a fair time to give a balanced opinion on who the New York Yankees are, because the Yankees are playing their worst baseball ever. And if I suggest to you, hey, I think the Yankees are good, I'll probably be called a moron. The Mets, on the other hand, got off to the bad start, played very well for a few weeks, had a horrible May, had a great June, OMG, grimace. And since then, they're 4-6. They just had a road trip in which they went 4-4. You can't say it's abysmal. You can't say it's great. What you would say is that it was average. And what that allows us to do, all of us, whether you're optimistic like Tommy, whether you're up and down like me, whether you're poised like Tiki, is to take a deep breath and say, okay, here's what I honestly think the Mets are. And I think this is the perfect time in a baseball season to give that balanced opinion, because you've seen it all. The bad, the good, the average. And that answer, how you answer that question, will help determine how aggressive they should be at the trade deadline. So, Tiki Barber, as an IBO, yes, what are the New York Mets?
The Mets are, they are just above average to me.
Just above average.
Just above. So, they're not good, right? But they're not bad either. But they're also not average.
Right.
Because if they're average, I can't look at their roster and say, Francisco Lindor, not an all-star, should be. Nimmo, not an all-star, should be. Pete Alonso, one of the great power hitters in baseball right now. He's not having the season home run-wise, numbers-wise, but he is hitting more doubles, as we talked about the other day. Great contact, extra base, OPS type, slugging type hitter. You look at Francisco Alvarez, one of the great young catchers in all of baseball. Vientos gets a hit every damn day. So I can't look at that roster and say, yeah, they're below average. I look at their starting pitching, and Luis Severino has been okay. The bullpen has been a disaster. Edwin Diaz should be better. So, like, to me, they're an underperforming good team, which puts them, to me, just above average, which is why, when I said this over the last couple of weeks, and I'll keep saying this, they're just going to float right here at 500. It's just going to be this little, like, bob and weave up and down, 500, just below, just above, just below, just behove. And the only way they're going to get out of that cycle is either sell and suck or buy and become somewhat of a playoff contender.
Do you think it's really a good idea to sell and suck?
I think it's ridiculous. Yeah. I think that for a team that has good play, like if your team stinks, Like, if you don't have any of those guys that I just mentioned, go ahead, sell.
Right.
You got to reset, bring up the young kids, figure it out. But when you got players that are good and are going to be here for a while, Francisco Alvarez is going to be here for a while. Lindor, obviously, is going to be here for a while. Vientos, et cetera. They're going to be, you have to try to win.
Yeah, I think you have to. I think your answer is very similar to where I feel this team is. They are a slightly above 500 team, despite being a game under 500. And I think the thing that's holding them back from being the team I envision them being is a better bullpen.
Which is a playoff team.
A playoff team.
Not a 95-win team.
No, but once you're, my logic is once you're a playoff team, I'll take my chances. Yes. You never know. They could very well get hot and go on a run that none of us see coming.
Yeah. So so based on mine and I think your estimation, what we're saying, David Stearns, is you got to buy.
You smart buying.
Yes.
Smart buying as in I'm not giving up top prospects. I'm doing strategic buying. I'd be open to trading a starting pitcher for bullpen help. I'd be open to just taking on a baddish contract that doesn't cost me prospect capital. I'd be open to taking a guy like Dylan Floro back who's not going to cost me that much, but I can improve my bullpen. That would be my strategy, and I think that is the strategy if you're in Tiki's camp or my camp, which is they're good. And you have to say they're good with a squeak because that's how you define that they're not great, but they're good. They're good. Now, I have a feeling what we're about to get, and I'm excited to hear it. Positive Tommy.
The Mets, you're right, the power of positivity. The Mets are a very good team, a playoff team with a great lineup. Some would say, I would say, a special lineup.
So based on that, and I respectfully disagree with you. Based on that, you go balls to the wall. You're all in.
So, can we all agree probably Kirby Yates would be the best reliever available at the deadline?
Kirby Young? Yates, Tanner Scott, Mason Miller, sure.
Okay. So, you figure that would cost you your top prospects most likely. And then the cut below that would be a David Robertson, same thing with the Rangers, which would be middle of the road. I think you go all in here. You try to build up that bullpen. You could also add, and you didn't bring this up in the open, Evan, perhaps moving David Peterson to the bullpen, a guy already on your roster.
That's an option.
Yep. You're getting Kodai Senga back, which is like a trade. You're getting Sean Reed Foley back, which is like a trade.
It's like a trade. Yeah.
Sean Reed Foley was really good this year. Come on. Okay. And he's got a great mustache. It's in the Nazi killing business. So I like Sean Reed Foley. But yeah, I'm all in here. I'm all about getting to the playoffs. I think they're a playoff team. And if you think the weakness is the bullpen, which I think it will be a strength, Nunez in the eighth, Diaz in the ninth, I'm all in, baby.
He's all in. I don't have the balls to be all in because I don't want to trade big prospects for bullpen offs.
That's the problem.
But sorry, T.
I was going to say, that's the problem because if you go all in, then it means you're trying to win now. And so people who are part of the future in your mind become expendable. And that's I can't do that yet because I don't think the Mets are winning the World Series. I mean, could they get lucky like the Diamondbacks and get there? Yeah, maybe.
By the way, you're right. The Mets winning a World Series, which is not a crazy statement because we live in baseball in 2024 more than it is a statement on the Mets, would only happen if they just happen to be the hot team at the right time.
Right.
They're not better than the Phillies. Nobody's suggesting that. And if you are, you've been hanging out with Positive Tommy too much.
But the Diamondbacks weren't better than the Phillies last year.
No, but that's our point. That's our point.
That's
like, they would just have to be the hot team. I'm not making an all-in trade for a team that needs to be the hot team. I'd make strategic trades. Mm-hmm. I'd make trades that don't kill my future, that's not costing me big prospect capital, only costing me middling prospects or one of my depth starting pitchers.
I don't know this off the top of my head, but look at what Arizona did last. What did they do at the trade deadline last year? I don't remember it being, we're going all in and we're going to make this happen. So, like, I don't think you need to do that. You know what I mean, Tommy? Like, it feels good to say that you're going for it, but do you need to really do that?
They added Paul Sewald, they added Tommy Pham, they added Jace Peterson.
They did make some moves.
But those are the kinds of moves we're talking about. Like, no one's suggesting the Mets are trading for some blockbuster superstar. Like, it's about just reinforcing what they already have. Like, I go back to our discussions in February and March when I was more positive about this team. And I told you my formula. My formula was the starting pitching is not as bad as people think.
Yeah.
It's not great, but it'll be better than people think. I think we'd all agree checkmark on that, right?
Yep.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's not great.
No.
It's not their strength. It's acceptable. They will have a better lineup than people think. It's taken a while. We're there. So two for two. Here's where I've been wrong so far. Their bullpen needed to be a strength, and for a while it was. Like, there was a moment in time in which the Met bullpen was really good.
Yeah.
They need to get back to that if they're going to be the team I thought they could have been in February and March.
Okay, three quick points here. Kirby Yates, let's just say he's the best reliever. Is he really costing you a top prospect? Probably not.
It depends how many teams are desperate. Like Kirby Yates and Tanner Scott are free agents at the end of the year. So keep that in mind. That matters to me because if I'm getting some, like Mason Miller, who's the young flamethrower for Oakland,
right, for Oakland.
If I get him, he's in my bullpen for the next 5 years. There's something intriguing about
right,
that. You could argue, hey, it's for now, but it's also for the future.
Right. So that kind of is like adding to your farm system in
a way. In a way.
Right. So absolutely that would be worth it. But what are you giving up for it? Right? And it's like the A's are going to want a lot.
Yes.
But that leads me to my next point. Is there nothing more overrated in sports than baseball prospects? The majority of them flame out.
But he's already pitching.
No, I'm just saying the Mets, you know, trading away aspects, and we all
believe
in these guys, and these guys are going
to
be great.
So holding on to the guys that are down in AAA or AA right now. And
exactly.
Okay, so the answer to that question is yes, but for the right guy. If it's for a relief pitcher, you're nuts. Mm. If it's for a rental with this team, you're nuts. If it's for a guy, let's say, I'll give you a good example, or at least I'll try to find you a good example. I happen to be much higher on Luis Robert than most other people, but if it was for a guy who's young, who can be on my team for the next 4 or 5 years, and I believe in, then yeah, it's over. When they were talking about trading Lasting's millage for Manny Ramirez, prospects were overrated. When you're talking about trading a prospect for Billy Taylor, prospects are not overrated.
Okay,
you were playing, so you don't remember that.
That leads me perfectly into my third point here. The Mets bullpen at time this year has been historically bad. If the man from Milwaukee can make this bullpen great, what are the Mets?
What are the Mets?
Meaning if you take your weakness and you make it a big-time strength,
I think
all of a sudden...
They're a good little baseball team.
They're a very good to great baseball team.
They're not
team.
A great
so
baseball
you're turning,
team.
Hold on, you're taking... You have an awesome lineup. Can we all agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay? They're going to have a much better rotation with Kodai Senga, who was great last year.
Great is too strong.
Now you have a great bullpen. And all of a sudden, your team is really, really good. You can make a run and win a World Series.
I think you go from a good team to a better team. Let's get to some of your calls. 888-808-1019. Ray's in Waterbury. What's up, Ray?
Hi, guys. Tremendous show today.
Appreciate
especially
it.
When you're talking about the Mets. You know what? You guys nailed it. All three. If you took a survey, I agree with you. They're a pretty good team with a bad bullpen. You fix that bullpen, they're a real good team, Evan. Real good team. And same thing as Kiki said. They're a real contending playoff team. You fix that bullpen because the lineup is real good, Evan and Tiki.
No, yeah. Well,
the bottom line, the starting pitching is going to get better.
Well, you know,
I would trade a starting pitcher.
I mean, but I think you're going to need them.
No, right? I would trade a starting pitcher for bullpen help if that deal exists.
But who?
Sean Manaea.
Manaea or Quintana? Right. Yeah. Well, Quintana hasn't had a good enough.
Honestly, I heard Beningo say this about a week ago.
But you're not moving Buto. You're not moving Christian Scott.
No, not the young guys. But
Right now, you're not moving even Luis Severino.
No, I think I would. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I actually disagree with something Joe told me off air and on air, which is I would trade any of the starters but Luis Severino. I'd be open to trading
Luis
Severino.
So, but why? Who becomes your ace? Now you really...
He's not an ace.
But who is the ace right now?
You don't need, if everybody is average and middle of the pack, you don't necessarily need an ace.
So you're starting a shaky at times Sean Manaea, Quintana.
Well, what's Luis Severino? Why are we acting like he's Cy Young all of a sudden?
I'm not, but I'm saying he's been your most consistent starter.
Which means you could probably get the most back for him.
Okay.
And if you can get something back that helps you, I believe, especially with the impending return of Kodai Senga, that they actually have an average enough rotation. Look, the rotation's average. No matter how you cut it, I'm not saying it's great, but I would not be against trading Luis Severino. I don't think that's like a red line
I think you then throw a lot of young arms into high, pressure starting situations.
Good need them anyway.
Christian Scott's going to be there. Jose Buto, even though he came out of the pen the other day, he's going to need to be a frontline starter for you. Tyler McGill probably is never going to get to this height that we think he is. He is what the back of his baseball card says, right? He's just below a 5 ERA guy. That's probably what he's going to be for his career. He's probably better served in the bullpen. But then you start thinking about the starting. Who else is it, right? These other kids aren't ready to come up yet.
Well, I think that I would look at David Peterson remaining in the rotation, mm-hmm. Christian Scott certainly getting kind of the band-aids off of him, the shackles off of him, if you will, based on the way it was managed yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I think you just throw that rotation out at you. But Severino, Manaea, Quintana, they're all free agents at the end of the year. And they're all movable to me.
Yes.
In the right deal. Especially if they can net you back bullpen help. Joe in Santa Barbara. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
I'm thinking right now that the trade deadline for the Mets is the next six games. They need to make their own trade deadline. And I say that because it's kind of a big catch-22 that while I can't go out and get bullpen help unless we're in a position to compete, but the bullpen is going to put us out of the position to compete.
Exactly.
Right.
And
that's the catch-22.
I think that, yeah. And I think that, you know, as for trading starting pitching, I don't know if the starting pitching nets enough in a trade. Like, who would sever? I mean, you think you can trade, like, a Manaea straight up for, you know, a Estevez from the Angels?
No. It doesn't work with a team that's out of it. So the example I would give you, and again, I'm not saying this would happen, but I'm trying to offer the kind of deal that could. The Baltimore Orioles could use starting pitching, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yankee fans are certainly aware of that. Kyle Bradish is done for the season. Like, they've had injuries to their rotation. So would the Baltimore Orioles be willing? And I don't know if they would be, but they would be willing to take one of their relievers, whether it's Cano or Webb, and say, you know what? We need a starter.
Yeah.
And Luis Severino, the AL East, let's go. That's the kind of deal you're looking at, finding another contending team that's desperate for starting pitching. The Orioles jump out at me. The Guardians jump out at me. Where would they be willing to say, we need a starting pitcher bad enough, we're going to give you one of our quality relievers? Would Cleveland trade Hunter Gattis? Would they trade Scott Barlow? Would they trade Cade Smith? One of their relievers, because, hey, they look at their rotation and say, boy, we need another starter.
Right.
And
Even if he's not coming in as your ace, but he is one of those mid to back of the rotation starters, it can be viable when it matters most.
Yeah.
And he's a vet, and he has experience.
And I know those are trades we're not used to at the trade deadline. We're used to this, like, black or white, buy or sell.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're in a new world in baseball where there may not be enough sellers.
Yeah, I help you, you help me. I mean, that's what it's going to have to come down to, because there are not enough teams that are completely out of it.
And
there's three or four.
And let me ask you a question, because now I'm going to frame it in a way in which you're 1,000% going to agree with me. Let's say one of those trades is on the table. Let's say the Cleveland Guardians are willing to send me, as in the Mets, Hunter Gattis, who's one of their better relievers. Also happens to be on my fantasy team. Mm. That would be happy and fun. Let's say they say, you know what? We're so desperate for starting pitching. We're going to give you Hunter Gattis for Luis Severino. And the Mets' alternative to Luis Severino is, well, Christian Scott's in the rotation. Yeah. Kodai Senga's going to replace him in the rotation. Isn't that a better option than keeping your rotation and say, well, let's just move David Peterson to the bullpen and see what happens. Let's call up Eric Orsi and see what happens. What's the better option?
Yeah, it's making the trade.
It's a no-brainer.
It absolutely is a no-brainer.
Especially for a guy who's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yes.
Man, even keep him anyway. Let's go to Chris in Philadelphia. How you doing today, Chris?
Hey, I was wondering if we could change that to Barnegan jersey.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call.
You don't want to claim Philly, huh? I got it.
No. I lived there temporarily, made that call a little while ago.
He wants it to be Barnegat. He's in Barnegat. Chris from Barnegat.
Barnegat. You know what?
Right.
Chris, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to put you on hold, and we're going to start this whole thing over, because I feel bad. Like, who the hell would want to be associated with Philadelphia?
Thank you.
And by the way, Knicks fans, ask yourself that question.
I got you.
Stop
back,
calling them the Nova Knicks. Really, you want to be associated with Philadelphia? We're New Yorkers. We're better than that. How about you call them the guys who are on the Knicks now? All right? A life lesson for you. Anyhow, let's go to Chris in
Barnegat,
New Jersey. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Evan and Tiki. Thanks for the refang of that. Thanks for taking my call. Tiki, you're a legend and a Hall of Famer.
Thank you, man.
So, Ev, you said in your opening, Mets lost six of their last nine because of this bullpen. And, you know, three of that six are from players that probably will never even see the mound at Citi Field ever again.
True.
With what Brandon Nimmo said, and I'm going to pull words straight from the Evan Dictionary. I want to see your guys' reaction from this. does this not just light a fire under the tuchus of David Stern? They have to be And, you know, the next 2 weeks is big. The next 2 weeks is big. If they're still hovering 500, Stearns has got to buy. One of the captains of his team realizes, man, oh my goodness, we're playing well. If we can finish these games, who knows? It's not completely unreasonable to say they could be 10-plus games over 500, even with one of the most terrible months, 2 months, in this team's, you know, past decade. Thanks for taking my call, guys, yeah. And thanks for the switch there.
Appreciate you, Chris.
Yeah, I think that these next six games, and we can include post-All-Star break as well, but these next six games jump out as so important because they've played mediocrely at home all year long.
Yep.
The Nationals are an average team, a team that you're a little bit better than, and the Rockies are a bad team.
Right.
And to borrow a phrase from Tommy, they better do damage.
Well, it's also when you consider what's happening post-All-Star break. So currently, the Mets are six games behind the Atlanta Braves. Now, Atlanta Braves are on the West Coast right now, and they have the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are just sitting below 500.
Right in the Met mix.
Peer-tier. They're a peer-tier to the Mets, but could they mess around and beat the Braves at home? Maybe. Who knows? But then they have San Diego, who is basically a peer-tier with the Atlanta Braves. And so if they can gain ground on the Atlanta Braves going into the All-Star break and then come out of the All-Star break stronger, rested, and beat the Atlanta Braves, then all of a sudden it feels like, oh, well, we have to make a move.
Well,
so you're right about these next six games, but I think it's also important to look in context about who they have right after the All-Star break.
It's funny that you say that. Last night, I went to sleep very early. I couldn't do that Rico, I promise, so I ended up doing a Rico Bronya in the morning. You could check that out after the show is over. So I started looking at the various schedules of NL wildcard contenders.
Mm-hmm.
And what I came across is the exact opposite of what you just laid out. And hear me out.
Go ahead.
I looked at Atlanta, a team the Mets are, you said, five games behind now?
Kind of in that range. Six games behind.
A team that's like the dream. Oh, man, could the Mets catch the Braves and be the top wildcard team? Mm-hmm. It's a fantasy. It's probably not happening.
Well, if they sweep the next two series, then maybe.
Here's the catch to this.
Go ahead.
The Atlanta Braves are about to play the Arizona Diamondbacks, a peer-tier team, the San Diego Padres, a team the Mets are chasing, and the St. Louis Cardinals, another team the Mets are chasing. So I put business first. Let's go Braves. That's what I say. Because it is more realistic for the Mets to catch St. Louis and or San Diego than to catch Atlanta. So I would rather see the Diamondbacks get hammered by Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
Atlanta won last night 5-4.
Yep.
And I'd love to see San Diego get hammered by Atlanta because I'm a realistic Met fan. Mets are not catching the Braves.
Well, until they do.
Until they screw it up enough to lose to San Diego in St. Louis and then beat the crap out of us. And then basically the Mets lost ground on the Cardinals and the Padres.
Right.
So I'm actually rooting for the Braves, as odd as that is, because business creates weird friendships, right?
Yes.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Okay. So you got to play him.
Tell about that. We got to smoke that tookus, you know what I mean? To quote our caller quoting me. Let's go to Rob in Westchester. How you doing, Rob?
Hey, boys. Long time no talk. It's been a few months. How are you today?
Appreciate you calling back.
Welcome back, sir. What's up?
What's going on? Hey, so, Evan, actually, the last time I really spoke in on this show, you were in London. And I was giving Loogie a real hard time. Loogie, and, you know, it was Tiki and Loogie. And I got to start off my call by saying Loogie is smarter than he looks and smarter than he sounds sometimes. He's a smart guy, let me tell you.
This is why I'm the future. Let me tell you.
I was all over him saying I couldn't disagree more about Lindor not being good. We got to get rid of him. He's a choke artist. I think I was right up until that point, but you know what? He really turned it on, and he's really the engine of this team and why we're doing so good right now. And I just want to, you know, I got to admit it. Look, I'm hard on you guys, all of you guys, when I call up. When you're right, you're right. Loogie, you were right. All right, that's enough kissing his butt.
Now, Loogie!
Loogie! With that being said, I think that this team is a pretty good team. Tiki, where do you think? Because you were saying, you know, they're not good. I would say they're pretty good.
The bullpen's not good. I think they are good, but not great. Right? They're not a great team in my estimation, but they have all the talent to be really good. You know what I mean? And so It's like when all of the pieces on the paper don't add up to what it should be. You know what I mean? It's like, we're missing something here, right? This equation must be messed up in some capacity, or we're missing some variable or something, because when I add this all up, it's not equaling what I see on a nightly basis.
Yeah. I want to say something to Rob and to everybody else, because sometimes you make mistakes in life, and what I always say is, you can make the mistake once. When you make it a second time, that's on you. In fact, I had that happen to me this morning. I took my dog Dudley to the vet, and for the second time, this is the second straight time I took him to the vet. When I got there, the veterinarian said, "You didn't feed him this morning, right?" And I was like, "Oh, crap, I did." And I had to reschedule the appointment and bring him home. And I was really upset, and I told my wife, "I'm upset because I made this mistake before. If this was the first time I made the mistake, I would say, ah, it happens." What I'm annoyed with Rob about, where I'm on Team Loogie, we were on the same side in this regard, is the slander of Francisco Lindor.
Yeah, it's been consistent, though.
Like, guys, he gets off to bad starts, okay? You repeating and relitigating his legacy here after every bad start and then repeating a false statement such as, quote, "he never gets a big hit," doesn't make it true. And you knew, if you just had a little patience and a little sanity, that Lindor was going to get hot. Now, if your argument is, "Hey, guys, boy, these bad Aprils really kill him. It kills the team. That's a problem." Fine. You have every right to say that. But to continue to peddle BS like Lindor sucks, Lindor's washed up, Lindor can't handle New York, Lindor isn't clutch. Like, when will you learn? He's been here for 4 years. If he hasn't fit the expectations you had for him, that's on you. But stop acting like he stinks. He doesn't stink. He didn't stink. And you should have known better than to call up and attack Loogie in June and say, "Let's relitigate his whole career. He stinks." So I give Loogie credit, but I don't give him as much credit as I blame Rob and others for not learning from their mistakes when it comes to Francisco Lindor.
Well said.
30 for 30 guy last year, best hitter on the team. People often point to the contract, which he's worth every single penny. And this is my take on it. I think there are people around here or wherever in this town that don't like the fact that he colors his hair, pierces his ears, the glove is a bunch of different colors, has a lot of flair, he's not a ball player, he smiles, so did Buddy the Elf, smiling was his favorite, and they don't like that about him. Just like they don't like stuff about Pete Alonso, he's a doofus, Donnie Diesel, so it's a personal thing, they don't like that about him, so then they point to other stuff, the money, the this, the that, and that's why they hate on him. That's just my opinion.
You know what
it.
I think it is? And I want to give a friendly warning.
I think it's mostly the money.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
It's,
I think it's all
the
money.
I mean, I remember having this conversation with BT 2 years ago, and it was, "Trust me, Met fans, you're going to hate this contract." That's what you just, and people started believing it's all the money. But, and I've said this since the minute Steve Cohen made this deal, he had to do it. The Mets were a joke. They were a laughing stock. They were, "I'm not going to the Mets. They're cheap as hell, and they suck. Why in the hell would I go play for the New York Mets?" And so you trade for Francisco Lindor, and you overpay him.
Right.
Why? Well, maybe he deserves some of it, but mostly to change the precedent, the perception
100%.
Of what Steve Cohen and this Mets team was going to be like. So stop talking about it. It's his money. He spent that money, Steve Cohen, to change the face of the team.
I changed
the perception of the team. And trust me, from Steve Cohen's standpoint, it was well worth it.
100%.
Because now, from that point on, the only thing we heard, and we hear it every damn day, people talk about the Mets bringing in new talent. Oh, you got Daddy Stevie Cohen. You got Warbucks Stevie Cohen. They're going to spend money. The only reason you know that's true is because of Francisco Lindor,
right,
by the way. So stop knocking the money that he got.
It also, we've gotten to the point where it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter
if he makes $35 million or $25 million. And I'm going to say this in a friendly way. I swear to God, I swear to everybody, this is not to troll, I guess is the term you like to use. Mikal Bridges was traded for 5 first-round picks. I get it. It's a lot of picks.
You're just spiteful. You're not trolling.
No, I'm not even being spiteful. I'm being honest.
You're being IBO right now?
Yeah, I'm going to defend Mikal Bridges before you guys rip him. That's what I'm about to do. No matter what he doesn't do for you, you got to take the draft picks out of your mind. It has to go away. You have to look at him as a piece on this basketball team and not as a piece that you traded five draft picks for, because it doesn't matter anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfair right. to him to hold him to a standard of, but we gave up five firsts for you. It doesn't matter. He's on the team.
It's a sunk cost.
It's a sunk cost, just like the money is on a contract. And I always say mm-hmm. that about guys when they're paid. Same thing with Juan Soto. Whether he re-signs with the Yankees, whether he goes to the Mets, wherever the hell he goes, you got to take out of your mind how much money he makes. Now, I know a lot of people listening are nodding their head, and then they're going to ignore me because you can't get it out of your mind. And I know it's tough. Like, I get it. It's been tough for me at times.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to a guy who's traded for five first-round picks, I'm telling you right now, on opening night, forget about it. Even if I remind you about it, if things go badly, just laugh at me and say, shut up, loser, and keep dreaming about Cooper Flagg, who will never play for your basketball team because you won't win the lottery. I'm a loser.
By the way, should Cooper Flagg even play at Duke?
No, he should just come right to the Nets.
Dude, he's already proven that he can play on an NBA level and the select team in the U.S. Olympic basketball team.
You're not wrong. What the hell's the point of even doing it?
Right.